A new two-part drama on BBC Radio 4.
I'm not used to calling the lady of the house anything but mem.
I'm a crofter's wife and a crofter's daughter, Elsa. I have run a house. Ploughed fields, drilled, planted and pulled potatoes from the earth with hands as rough as gorse. I am not mem and I am not a lady.
Lewis Grassic Gibbon's tale of struggle, set after the First World War.
We went to war. We went to the lice and the dirt and damnation. And what have we got at the end of it all? They are sacking men at the mills just now and leaving them on the bureau to starve.
Cloud Howe starts on Sunday the 25th of January at 3 in the afternoon and is then on the Radio 4 website for 30 days.
The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
Inspector Lestrade was made to look a fool in the Sherlock Holmes stories. In The Rivals, Series 3, by Chris Harold, Lestrade gets his own back with tales of Holmes' rivals. In this episode, The Moabite Cipher, inspired by a short story by R. Austin Freeman, Holmes, played by James Fleet, joins forces with Dr. James Thorndike, played by Tim McInerney.
About God. Now I'm going to invite him to join us here in the Albert Hall. Yes. The anointing is on me and the nine gifts of the Spirit run through me. Now I'm looking about me now and yes, I see a gentleman 20 rows back. Gentleman with the crutches. Now, wait. Would you care to walk down the aisle and join me on a stage? But here's the thing of it. Leave the crutches behind!
Yeah! The Albert Hall. On the stage, Pastor Wayne Kaplan, who'd brought preaching and his miracle cures all the way across the Atlantic for our benefit. My duty here was not one I wanted. My only consolation, I had run into, most unexpectedly, Dr. James Thorndike. Dr. Thorndike, whose fine and incisive mind was every bit the equal of Sherlock Holmes, as this memoir will attempt to show.
He walks! He walks!
There goes the supposed cripple up to the stage,
casting his sticks behind him.
And so it came to pass.
All the same, it's impressive in its way.
Oh, come on, Lestrade. It's all smoke and mirrors. He's one of several able-bodied people paid a shilling or so to throw away their crutches at the blessed name of Kaplan. If such a phenomenon were true, why, how splendid. We wouldn't need hospitals or doctors. I'd be bereft of a job.
Yeah.
Let me take you in my arms, sir. God bless.
And you, Lestrade. One hopes you're here to arrest this fraud of a fellow.
Quite the contrary. There have been death threats against Pastor Wayne Kaplan, and I've been charged with protecting him.
Death threats, really? You should have told me. I'd have written one myself.
I've got a squad of bobbies here. I've been taken off the Regent's Park jewellery robberies, which is where I belong.
Four thefts in 1 week. Now, there was a bold piece of work.
Oh, it's not just a mob down there that Kaplan impresses. It's every level of society. Look at the people in the boxes.
There's two miladies and one duchess at the last tally, isn't it? Tell me about the death threats.
Oh, it's risen to become worse. Pistol shots in the Great Hall at Edinburgh only a fortnight ago. No one hurt. No one apprehended.
Huh.
And you know what? The humiliation. I had to report to Kaplan this morning in his powder blue suit. Rings on his fingers. Big tank of exotic fish. How's it going, Inspector? He even wanted to cure my dodgy knee.
Oh, your bursitis, dear fellow.
I've got the police commissioner on my back. His wife, apparently, Kaplan cured her gout. But no, I speak out of turn. What the hell's he doing? Pass me those opera glasses.
He's mingling with his flock.
He's a damn fool, then. I think my men have things in hand. No, wait a minute. Coming through the crowd, just a glimpse of... I'm sure that's Chalky Cogan.
Chalky Cogan, not a name to instantly command respect. Client of yours by any chance?
Kaplan's turned the wrong way. Cogan's nearly on top of him.
Hell's teeth.
No, Kaplan's moved on. No, he's all right.
Ah, Cogan. If my lads are onto him. He's on the run. Come on. Come on, Thorndyke.
What's so special about Cogan? A criminal for all seasons. Links to the Whitechapel gang.
Whitechapel?
Yes, I'll explain later. I always took Cogan for more of a brawler rather than a killer. Money, though. Turns you into anything. Ah, here we go.
Steady there. Keep beyond the barriers.
The crowds were thick around the Albert Hall, desperate for a glimpse of what Thorndyke, in his particular way, would call their saviour. The mounted police horses were skittish. Cogan looked back at me, panic in his eyes.
Inspector Lestrade!
He slipped past the barrier. Then he was under the hooves.
Just lie still, man. Tell me how you feel.
I've got a queer feeling in my chest. It's like something sinking. Yes, it's sinking down.
Yes, I see. Let me take your pulse.
Such a handsome cab now.
Tell me, Cogan. What were you up to? Was it Kaplan you were after? Did something go wrong?
Oh, no, hello, Inspector. Tell me, if I told you that, my life wouldn't be worth a penny.
Talk to me, Chorley.
There's nothing bloody there, you know.
He's passed out.
No, it's rather more than that. He suffered a massive concussion direct to the heart. Look at the colour going out of him. He's dying, Lestrade.
Thorndyke was right. Before the hour was up, we were alone with Chalky Cogan in the morgue of St. Marylebone Hospital.
See the circular depression in the chest? 6-inch diameter, I make it. A disc of ribs punched straight in. Neat as a textbook drawing.
Good heavens.
Now, let's see what clues he left behind. The jacket pocket's empty. Oh, not quite, though. In the bottom of this pocket... Yeah, a few crumbs of pork pie, quite fresh. Not the most healthy of diets. Chalky Cogan's Last Supper. Oh, but in this inner pocket...
An envelope. Sealed.
A Soho address, rather carelessly scrawled.
Adolf Schoenberg, 213 Greek Street, Soho. Well, let us, you and I, make Chalky's final delivery.
Empty. Looks scarcely inhabited, in fact. Just a solitary cup of tea.
So perhaps Mr. Schoenberg got advance warning of what happened to Cogan and absconded.
Now, this cup of tea...
Yeah, what about it?
It's still warm. We miss Mr. Schoenberg by minutes. There's only one thing to do now.
Yes?
Open the letter.
So what do you make of this?
The paper is common cream-laid notepaper, and the jet-black ink is... Now, there's a density to it, yes. I believe this is Chinese ink, such as is used by draftsmen and calligraphers.
Symbols? What are they? What about them? It's not shorthand, it's ancient Greek. That's what it puts me in mind of.
I think, Lestrade, a language even older than that. But I move outside my sphere of knowledge. However, Great Russell Street is a mere 15 minutes walk away.
Great Russell Street?
The head of the paleographic department at the British Museum is an old acquaintance of mine. I'm sure we can trespass on his time.
Professor Cedric Wagner, at your service, Inspector Lestrade. An honour. And you, Thorndyke, interrupting me in the midst of critical research. How do you explain yourself, eh?
So that sausage sandwich, half-hidden, hastily half-hidden, I might say, on your desk, is critical research. I have spoken to you about the dangers of sausage.
The fat. Yes, you're always remarking on fat. No other doctor talks of this, only you, Paul.
I'm ahead of my time. But anyway, this letter, take a look.
Yes, these letters and words are like biblical Hebrew, very like it, but there are... differences. Where did you come upon this?
It was in the pocket of a common criminal.
He died. So desperate was he to keep the secret of this message.
Extremely curious. This is an even more ancient tongue than biblical Hebrew, a primitive proto-Semitic text. This is written in Moabite.
Moabite?
Yes, you can read about the country of Moab in the biblical book of Exodus, a mountainous strip of land alongside the Dead Sea. And we know more of the place from a recently discovered stele. I am Mesher of Dibon, king of Moab, son of Chemosmelech. Mesher took a terrible retribution on a neighbouring town. Does either of you know the subsequent history of Moab?
I'm not sure my Bible class is...
If we did, we wouldn't be here, Wagoner.
Around about 500 BC, the small country of Moab disappears utterly from recorded history for reasons that remain impenetrable darkness, unguessed at by even the most profound scholars.
What do you make of the text?
Certain words, phrases are apparent. Here, for instance, the words woe and city. Woe to the city, perhaps. Lies, robbery, prey, noise, darkness. A darkness that can be seen.
Darkness visible.
Could you translate it thus?
Darkness visible. That's the phrase that Kaplan used in his ramblings. Mm. That stuff about a flaming furnace. Why on earth would a phrase from Kaplan appear in this message?
Perhaps woe is coming to Kaplan.
This letter, it's a fine jumble, Thorndyke. You'll have to give me more time. May I keep this document?
I think it best that I hold on to it myself. Could you make a copy?
Hectograph, certainly. I'll attend to it now.
I see you have a camp bed in your office.
Yes.
Could I ask that tonight you remain here at the British Museum?
But you think I may be under threat over some Moabite hieroglyphics, eh? Some jealous fellow scholars, perhaps?
I do think you could be in danger.
So be it. I shall send a messenger with what I find to your rooms tomorrow morning.
In your debt. Let me just say, try and put sausage behind you. Fresh fruit, grains, pulses. That's the thing.
Pulses. I'll keep that in mind.
Sorry, gents, you can't go any further.
Inspector Lestrade, I'm expected.
Oh, right, you are. Pastor Kaplan is finishing a private session. Just give him a minute.
Thorndyke, do you really think Professor Wagoner is under some threat?
The threat that so scared Chalky Cogan. My life wouldn't be worth a penny. Possibly. I'll tell you what really puzzles me.
What?
Why Chinese ink?
Thank you so much, Pastor. I'm in your debt. Your demonstration with the crystals. Anything I can do for you, anything at all.
Ma'am. Lestrade! Don't be shy. Come on in, ma'am.
Dear heavens. It's the Duchess of Norfolk.
Really? I find it hard to tell one duchess from another.
Lestrade! And you brought a buddy. Greetings, good sir.
And greetings to you, Pastor Kaplan. My name is Dr. Thorndyke.
Terrific. Offer you a drink?
Well, we're rather pressed for time.
You're making progress then, Inspector. Bad moment earlier today, but I don't blame you.
I don't blame me either. I'm trying to protect you from threat, and you're doing everything possible to expose yourself to it.
I owe it to my followers. It's hard to explain. But I dare say I must have made your work harder for you. I apologize for that with all my heart.
Well, obviously, you have to...
I was admiring your fish tank, Pastor. Those South American cichlid?
Why, yes. Absolutely right. My glittering friends. You're an enthusiast of fish?
Not really. I have a retentive memory. Beautiful creatures. The cichlid are nicknamed Firemouth. Like yourself, sir, when you're in full flow.
Oh. Should I take that as a compliment?
Up to you.
The man who approached me today, whom your police chased, he later died, I believe.
They chased him because they thought he threatened you.
I know. Mea culpa. All my fault.
And you know of his death? You're very well informed, Pastor.
He was one of my flock. I know my flock. Or so I thought. Oh, dear. As you say in this country of understatement... Did he say anything at the end? I should have been there.
He had a note about his person.
This is police business, Thorndyke.
No. Did he really? Was it truly intent on my death? Forgive my curiosity. I think it's understandable.
The note said nothing about that. But it did include a phrase, a
striking phrase we heard you use earlier. Darkness visible.
Beautiful, isn't it? From book one of Milton's Paradise Lost. You look surprised, gentlemen. I may come from Hicksville, but I am far from a hick.
No, indeed, we would never...
Gracious. This is one of your collecting plates. So many banknotes. How much money a session do you take in?
Oh, I don't count the money, Dr. Thorndyke. I count the souls. Inspector Lestrade, be sure to report to me when you know anything more of the danger that faces me. I know the police commissioner has ever a confidence in you.
Thorndyke's rooms next morning. Scientific instruments and experiments distributed on laboratory benches. A skull used as a doorstop.
Have some more coffee, Lestrade. I use this distilling apparatus to concentrate it. I find it acts as a powerful nerve tonic.
Oh, yes. Well, it's positively intoxicating.
That's strange. I left specific instructions. We were not to be interrupted.
Ooh. Oh, coming up those stairs in this heat keeps you trim, I'm sure. I could do with losing a pound or two.
Dr. Thorndyke, at your service. Oh,
Miss Nadenbar, I should have said. And of course I know you, Inspector Lestrade. Seen you in the Strand magazine. You look better in the flesh, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you for seeing me at such short notice. Oh, it's my brother, sir. Oh, let me loose my what's-its and let the air circulate.
Your brother?
He's just got married for the second time. And his wife is half his age. And if I may say so, the marriage has not been altogether a success. In certain areas, if you know what I mean. Mm. Now, within the last fortnight, my brother has been attacked by mysterious stomach pains. Something terrible they are, griping him up grievous.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Our local doctor doesn't know what the problem is. Day by day, the pain gets worse and worse.
This pain, is it more severe after your brother takes food?
Oh, you've read my mind.
Let me see if I can read it again. You've brought me a sample of the food your brother has been eating.
Exactly.
What's his name, by the way?
Why, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I've got his breakfast porridge here in this bottle.
Visible in the porridge, tiny crystals. I wonder. Let's see. Into this glass container, Marsh's apparatus, I pour sulfuric acid, add the suspect porridge, ignite the resulting gas, and there, deposited on the underside of this ceramic plate, a glistening black stain of arsenic.
Remarkable.
I knew it all along. My brother's in mortal danger. Oh, you will help me, Dr. Thorndyke.
I don't think we have a choice in the matter, Thorndyke.
And where does Jonathan live, Miss Dunbar?
Jonathan! Walton-on-the-Naze, in Essex. It's an out-of-the-way place, but if we catch the 11:30 train from Liverpool Street, we shall be there in an hour and a half.
Forgive me a moment. I shall collect my medical bag.
We arrived at the station in time to furnish ourselves with luncheon baskets for our journey. Miss Dunbar was in excellent spirits. She dispatched the cold fowl with great relish, but something seemed to be bothering her.
You seem preoccupied with the time, Miss Dunbar. Oh,
this train's confoundedly late. 7 minutes behind time already.
Well, surely a few minutes more or less are not of much consequence.
Oh, no, of course not. But it's frustrating. Oh, there, that's better. Nearly there, gents. I should just go in, freshen myself up.
You know, Thorndyke, there is something distinctly, what's the word, implausible about Miss Dunbar.
Ah, you notice.
She's not altogether who she appears. And the brother, whose name she has trouble remembering, yes, I noticed that, doesn't in fact exist. Does this mean we have been lured into a trap?
That's what we're here to find out. Now, as I thought, Miss Nellie Dunbar has bustled out onto the platform even before the train has stopped moving. She's crossing the bridge, going to the other platform, the upside.
What?
She's going to catch the London train. So, here's what we'll do.
What are you doing? You want us to step down onto the track?
Her idea was to strand us down here in Essex. I'll explain in a moment. We need to take a shortcut across the rails and make haste to climb on the train back to London. That's why Nellie was worried about the time. She didn't want to miss the train, and neither do we.
Drat it.
I hadn't allowed for this.
Damnation. Allowed for what?
There's a fast down train coming. We'd better move, quickly as we can.
Need a hand here.
What?
My foot is caught under the rail.
Steady, don't panic. Try and relax the muscles.
Relax the muscles? It's easy for you to say, it's not your bloody foot. Ow, ow, ow. Oh, it's no good. No, you get clear.
No, not without you. Let me try this. Got you. Now, back up as hard as you can against the carriage. There's only inches in it. Yes. Here she comes. Yes. Flatten yourself, man. Hold on.
Mother of Mary. I'm in your debt, Thorndyke.
Not at all. Now, having narrowly avoided being crushed to pulp by the down train, it would be ignominious indeed to miss the up train. Come on, no time to lose. Let me give you a hand up.
Ouch.
It's a bit tender, eh? Some bruising to the area around the metatarsal, but no actual fracture. Back at my rooms, when I went to fetch my medical bag, I was in fact checking in Bradshaw. There are only two trains a day to and from Walden-on-the-Naze. This is the last one back to London. I presumed that Miss Dunbar hoped to strand us at the station.
Why would anyone want to strand us in Walden-on-the-Naze?
It's not that they want us there in particular, it's that they don't want us somewhere else. Namely, my London premises where the Moabite cipher is. Except it isn't. It's here, in all its mystifying glory.
Professor Wagoner's translation.
Translation. In a manner of speaking, the hieroglyphics do indeed spell out words, but they are disjointed. What the professor has done, with much interpolation and a vivid imagination, is fill in the gaps and impose a meaning. So, woe, city, lies, becomes woe to the bloody city. It is full of robbery and lies.
Well, I won't get the baby bathed.
Oh, no, indeed. It's as though an ingenious person has laid hold of a tract on the Moabite language and constructed something that half makes sense. No, the solution to the cipher is to realise there is no solution. The message is hidden in plain sight.
You're losing me.
You remember I mentioned the Chinese ink with which the message was written?
Mm.
Why should anyone use this troublesome medium, stick ink, which has to be dissolved, when perfectly good writing ink is easily available?
What?
Chinese ink is useful in calligraphy, but has only one other noteworthy property. It is impervious to water. I'll show you. Pass me the water jug, if you please.
Here.
I put the document into this tumbler of water. Drop it in. Wait a moment. Now lift it out, and lo and behold...
Amazing. More lettering has appeared. It's almost like a watermark flowing in between the lines of the original Moabite.
The second piece of writing was made, like a watermark, as you say, simply by writing with an uninked pen on the dampened paper. The paper dries, the words disappear.
Like a conjuring trick. And what does the writing say?
It begins with an address. 8 the Boltons.
A Kensington address.
Quite so. Then the words, upstairs study, and some other digits and letters. 4L, 5R, 2L, 6L.
Good.
It's my turn to be lost here.
Well, you need to be in my job. 4L, 4 left, 5R, 5 right. This is the combination lock of a safe.
And its location, of course.
I know that address. You're hardly going to credit this. It's the Duchess of Norfolk's London residence.
As soon as we reached London, we arrested Nellie Dunbar and at Thorndyke's request sent an urgent telegram to Scotland Yard. He was right. My officers arrested 3 members of the Whitechapel gang, including the elusive Adolf Schoenberg, ransacking Thorndyke's premises. They all talked, especially Nellie.
Robberies to order. That was what it was. But we never know who was doing the ordering. We just get a letter, time and place, but no clue who the boss was.
Chalky Kogan, the Duchess of Norfolk, the Whitechapel gang. You see how it all adds up.
I hope we can prove this.
And the message in Moabite.
Yes, but that was gibberish.
Not all of it, Lestrade.
You got an appointment yet?
I don't think I need one.
Inspector Lestrade.
And Dr. Thorndyke, come on in. You have news for me, Inspector?
I've come about the Regent's Park jewellery theft.
You take me aback, Inspector.
The week before you appeared at the Albert Hall, Pastor Kaplan, you spoke in Regent's Park, where four major thefts of jewels occurred.
And what is the connection?
Another robbery was planned, this time of the Duchess of Norfolk at her home in the Boltons. The Duchess who visited you here, we saw you, and I suspect you visited her.
The Duchess is one of my flock, certainly, and I've had the privilege of visiting her at home. I'm not sure what road you're traveling here, Inspector. I hope you know your way.
Her address and the details of her safe were found on Chalky Cogan. Huh. Details you passed on to him in the Albert Hall. Cogan wasn't attempting to harm you. He was your messenger to the Whitechapel gang, the only person who knew your identity.
Ooh, what a striking allegation.
The death threats were smoke and mirrors. Just a way of diverting the efforts of the police away from the robberies. The Moabite cipher, more trickery. Hiding a message in plain sight. You like to live a little dangerously, don't you, Pastor?
Gentlemen, there has been a misunderstanding. My life is an open book. If you think I have some connection with these jewel thefts, then satisfy yourselves. Search these premises. Search the house I'm renting in Mayfair, while I have a conversation with the police commissioner.
You couldn't resist that flourish of vanity, could you, when you included the phrase, darkness visible, in your own message?
Is that the full extent of your proof?
Hiding in plain sight. Do you know what I noticed when I came into this room? The level of water in your splendid and conspicuous fish tank is at least 3 inches higher than when we were here yesterday.
Good Lord.
I wonder why that is. What would we find if we dug down in the base of that tank?
Damn you to hell!
Gun! Watch out, Lestrade!
It's all right, I've got him. And there, in the sand, a diamond tiara.
Oh, the devil with a tiara. Help me with these fish.
Your health, Thorndyke.
And yours.
You've got to hand it to him. Standing in front of that tank while he bandied words with us. One detail I meant to ask you. Mm-hmm. When Chalky Cogan was dying, he said, well, it struck me with some force, there's nothing bloody there, you know. I wondered what you made of that.
He was dying, dear fellow. He was contemplating what lies beyond this life. And that was his report back to us.
Oh. Right, I see.
Never mind that. Here comes the trout, appropriately enough.
As for darkness being made visible, Pastor Kaplan's popularity proved impervious to the revelation of his crimes. The highest folk in the land continued to visit him in Wormwood Scrubs for spiritual guidance and healing. And Dr. Thorndyke, what a fellow. Never a full-time detective, he was no Sherlock Holmes. But then, of course, neither was Sherlock Holmes, who owed as much to Dr. Watson's art as to his own skill. Smoke and mirrors.
The Moabite Cipher was based on a short story by R. Austin Freeman. It was dramatised by Chris Harold. Lestrade was played by James Fleet. Thorndyke by Tim McInerney. Kaplan by Ian Conyngham. Professor Wagoner by Michael Burtonshaw. Miss Dunbar by Rosalind Hill. The Flunky by Monty D'Inverno. And The Duchess by Jane Slavin. It was directed by Liz Webb.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.